starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. Living with each other, 'cause the future will soon be in there. Watching the clothes they follow our steps. If we do right, I'm sure they'll understand.
Hello and welcome to Spingola and Friends. It is Monday, February 2nd, 2015. This is Deanna Spingola. This radio program does not have any corporate sponsors. Therefore, we are free to discuss controversial topics that other radio programs do not cover. My website is spingola.com. There you will find information about my three books, the Ruling Elite series, as well as a timeline of book 2 and 3. My new book will be coming out soon. It is titled Screening Sandy Hook Causes and Consequences. Please also visit the website of a dear friend and listener who has created and maintains the website, spingolaspeaks.wordpress.com. I'm very, very grateful for all of his hard work and creativity. And you may find all of the more recent audio files of my programs at that website, including the RBN files, the American Free Press files, which ended a few months back. My Twitter account is twitter.com/Deanna Spingola. If you have questions during the program, feel free to call in at 646-787-1915. We will also be taking questions and comments from the listeners via my email, and that email address is comment@spingola.com. And I invite you to join the people in the chat room, and that is spingola.chatango.com. Please remember that I do not access my regular email address during the program. I would just like to address a question that I had just before the program. This is the question. In the alternative media, we're constantly advised to believe nothing of what the mainstream media reports. If that's good advice, and if you're saying that children really died at Sandy Hook, then you're believing a story that was reported by the mainstream media, which means that you must be wrong, right? Okay, that was a question. Here's my answer. Things are just not that black and white. People in the alternative media, by saying that everything in the mainstream media is a lie, are implying that the mainstream media is totally deceptive, but that the alternative media tells nothing but the truth, and actually we must be very wary and vigilant about both. We also need to take into consideration that 5 corporations control the news and what we hear. They decide what to report on and for how long they're going to focus on a particular story and for what reason. For instance, some people remember the massive reporting and the televised trial about O.J. Simpson. We must ask ourselves, what weren't they covering while they were focusing the viewers' attention on that trial? We hear about all kinds of things in the mainstream, things that are like-minded, gossip, all kinds of things, but we do not hear about the people living in their cars, the real motives behind warfare. And so we really can't be that black and white about anything and recognize that there's a criteria for everything and that we need to evaluate, okay, where did the information come from? Is it well-sourced? What is the background of the author? Is the person adamantly promoting a particular theory in an effort to conceal the real culprits, which is a big problem in both the mainstream and the alternative media? Remember the 90-10 ratio. 90% of the truth does not make the questionable 10% factual. So if the mainstream media told nothing but lies and deceptions and you couldn't believe absolutely anything they said, then nobody at all would be listening to the mainstream. And there have also been court cases. Now, according to a decision by the Florida Appeals Court on February 14th, 2003, in the Jane Aker whistleblower lawsuit, the court agreed with Fox News, who asserted that it is not against the law to distort or falsify the news in the United States. Fair and balanced, Fox News, citing the First Amendment, asserted that there is no rule against distorting or falsifying or deliberately distorting the news on public airways in the United States. The Florida Appeals Court, in a questionable interpretation of the Federal Communications Commission policy against the falsification of news, claimed that the FCC policy was not law, but merely policy. Consequently, corporations decide what to report without consideration of the truth. So you can look at both. You just have to be very selective about what you believe, and because there are liars and scoundrels in both the alternative and the mainstream news. You're the one. The responsibility is upon the listener to discover for themselves what is true. If you hear something in the alternative media, you have a responsibility to discover for yourself if the person is telling the truth. The same goes for the mainstream media. So it's really up to us to take the responsibility for what we believe. And it isn't a matter of who's telling the truth or who's spreading disinformation. It's really up to us to take the responsibility to find out for ourselves. Be skeptical, be vigilant about information that you hear from any source. Now, on to the program. In order to understand history and other major events, one should always compare them. For instance, we should evaluate the different wars that the United States government has involved the country in so that we might understand the motives and the money powers behind those wars and how they were instigated. I have a friend whose relative was a communications expert and actually attended the military meetings where generals planned warfare strategy. He was surprised to find that influential bankers were also in attendance. The elite would like us to always use compartmentalized thinking, which is what believing that everything that you hear in the alternative media is true, while everything that you hear in the mainstream media is false. That's compartmentalized thinking. That is something that we don't want to do. Yet, that is the way that the government schools operate. 1 hour class periods minus discipline in a chaotic, visually distracting environment in which everyone is supposed to think alike, accept, and then regurgitate the teacher's information in order to get a gold star and an A. Separating subjects into classes instead of integrating applicable material is not education but indoctrination. If we examine the intricacies of the episodic entertainment programming that segregates and arranges the public's problem solving into 1 or 2 hour segments with constant interruptions, we will find the same kind of predictable tactics. While making comparisons, we might find the commonalities between Ted Turner and Bill Gates, both of whom were allowed to create, increase, and maintain huge monopolies that had to do with communications, information accumulation, and the management of public perceptions. What did those two promise the corporate-loving government in exchange for their cooperation? Bill Gates is now promoting deadly vaccines in order to decrease the world's population. Ted Turner, a media mogul and the second largest landowner in the country with over 2 million acres of land, created CNN, which is very interesting. What kinds of operations does CNN direct? The pharmaceutical industry sponsors much of the television programming that influences our beliefs and perceptions about current events and what that huge cabal wants us to think about other people, as well as what they want us to believe about ourselves. Back to the comparison aspects of current and past events. Someone recently told me that Sandy Hook, whether it happened or not, is irrelevant to her. The Civil War further enabled corporatocracy. Profitable monopolies thereafter were protected by the physical force, the military and police power, and the legislative power of the government. The Spanish-American War opened the door to biological warfare. Actually, that happened before then, but it really opened the door for corporate biological warfare. When the U.S. military compelled the Filipinos to accept smallpox vaccinations, a disease that was totally foreign to them, something that they had never experienced. Thereafter, the Filipinos, as a result of getting those vaccines, suffered major epidemics of smallpox. World War I and II allowed the U.S. military to destroy other countries and then force those countries to take out huge loans so that U.S. government-connected companies could rebuild those countries and make a huge profit. The U.S. military, under the direction of special interests, seize the physical and intellectual assets of those countries and currently impose Kissinger's population-decreasing regulations on smaller countries. Every war, every major event impacts all of us, whether we recognize it or not. The government imposed the Patriot Act on every government citizen because of 9/11. Meanwhile, all warfare puts the manpower of the U.S. under the total jurisdiction of the federal government to use as guinea pigs for their vaccines and noxious poisons, otherwise known as biowarfare. Warfare in other countries functions as clinical trials for what government officials plan to implement in the U.S. The U.S. invasion of Vietnam started on false premises, served as a clinical trial for Agent Orange and other poisonous herbicides, which now, under the name of Roundup, is used pervasively in the United States on most of the nation's food crops. Last week, I talked about the mass shooting at the one-room Amish schoolhouse in Lancaster County in 2006 in order to draw some comparisons between that event and Sandy Hook. The Amish community tore down the schoolhouse in 1 week and built another school, the New Hope School, in another location. The Newtown community elected to tear down the Sandy Hook Elementary School, which they did, almost a year later, after the state police finished its investigation. It was an obvious and extremely wise choice, especially inasmuch as the school had been constructed in the mid-1950s, was full of asbestos and had other issues, in addition to the trauma of students returning to the scene of a mass murder. If the community had not torn it down, it would have raised some even more serious questions. No one in the alternative media that I am aware of claimed that no children died and that the parents in the Amish schoolhouse shooting were all actors. After all, they did not act like grieving parents, which was widely covered by the mainstream media. The Amish forgave the assailant and befriended his family. The alternative media did not claim that the school had not been in operation for 5 years or that it was not a fit environment for the children. No one claimed that the shooter died the day before or any of the other massively disseminated allegations, including the raising of millions of dollars to assist the victims. Supposed experts did not criticize the official report or accuse the police of dereliction of duty or claim that they did not follow the standard procedures for a mass casualty event. No one claimed that it was a drill or asked questions about porta potties, blood cleanup, or LifeStar helicopters. The really big difference, now this is what is very important, the really big difference between the shooter at the West Nickel Mine School, Charles Carl Roberts, and the shooter at the Sandy Hook Elementary School is that there was absolutely no indication that Roberts had ever visited a psychiatrist because of mental issues. More importantly, there is no evidence that he ever took a psychiatric drug. Zippo, nada, no evidence whatsoever. Now, that is not the case with Adam Lanza. Adam Lanza was once a patient at Yale. On August 15, 2014, Scott Jackson, the head of the Sandy Hook Advisory Commission, said, referring to their predictable, preconceived conclusions, he said, and I quote, "Our report is not going to be a deconstruction of Adam Lanza," unquote. This statement should not be a shock to anyone because from December 14, 2012, very few people, particularly the hoaxers, did everything and anything they could to take the focus off of Adam Lanza, who should have been the main focus of any serious investigation. It would appear that the commission, the Sandy Hook Advisory Commission, and the hoaxers had the very same objective, take the focus off of Adam Lanza. Therefore, because of his recorded history of mental issues, his being a former patient at Yale, no one would shine a much-needed national spotlight on Big Pharma and its seemingly, deliberately, deadly, but very profitable policies and practices. Many of the hoaxologists claim that Sandy Hook was a hoax perpetuated by the government using actors. I disagree and suggest four alternative possibilities. The events occurred as reported. Adam Lanza killed 27 people and then shot himself. Number two, the government, in a false flag operation, could have easily created a Manchurian candidate or candidates who perpetuated the killings. Number three, according to the hoaxologists, the government used actors, which was originally introduced by Ed Sheerini, and anybody that believes the nonsense he perpetuated, I don't know what to say. According to the hoaxologists, the government used actors, which would have necessitated the hiring of 40 people to play the parents of the 20 children, 160 to play the grandparents, hundreds of others to play the aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, and friends. The government somehow indoctrinated the other Sandy Hook students so that they would remember and tell the story for the rest of their life. The government convinced, paid off, or threatened the bus drivers and the parents of surviving students and persuaded the nurses, the ER doctors, the piano teachers, the soccer and baseball coaches, the police, the morticians, the religious leaders, the friends, the family dentist and doctors, the eyewitnesses and Sandy Hook neighbors, in fact, all of the citizens in Newtown to go along with the drill/hoax. Number four, the hoaxologists are paid agents, actors, or useful idiots. Now, keep in mind that Ed Sheerini introduced the idea that a lot of people are actually actors, and gullible people believed his ridiculous claims. He planted a lot of doubt, which is the main purpose. Obviously, I'm not Victoria Jackson, and there's a lot of other claims that he made. It's obvious that some of those claims are absolute, well, most all of the claims are absolutely ridiculous. The big thing that he did was he planted doubt. Doubt, 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 doubt. Okay, KOLs, which are key opinion leaders, suggested the following seemingly coordinated talking points. And remember, this has nothing to do with Adam Lanza. Well, a few of them relate to him, refer to him, but they really kind of take the entire focus off of him and the fact that he had taken some psych drugs. Number one, they suggested that no children were killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Number two, they suggested that Sandy Hook was not an operating school. Number three, they suggested that Adam Lanza died on 12/13/2012, which was an obvious error, and I explain that in my book, and if I have time, I'll explain it on the air today. Number four, they suggested Adam Lanza may not have even existed. Number five, Mike Powers, also known as Mike Hollingsworth, and others suggested that Lanza could not have carried off the shooting. Number six, they suggested that satanic worship played a part. Now, as I'm going through this list, think about the Amish schoolhouse and look at the comparisons. Number seven, they suggested that it was all about gun control and disarming of citizens. Number eight, they suggested that FEMA camps await dissidents along with 1.5 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollow point ammunition. Number nine, they suggested that the Mossad may have been behind Sandy Hook. Number 10, they suggested that other shootings were also government stage hoaxes. Number 11, they suggested that the government used actors at Sandy Hook, which we've already mentioned. They suggested that Sandy Hook was a drill. Number 13, they suggested that officials were smirking at Aurora and at Sandy Hook. Number 14, they suggested Sandy Hook may have been premeditated. Number 15, they suggested that authorities would not allow medics into the school. Number 16, they suggested that officials failed to follow proper protocol regarding an MCI, a mass casualty incident. Number 17, they suggested that someone photoshopped children into family photos. Sandy Hook, another event exploited by officialdom, relates to every single person in the United States. First, let's establish some basic facts. Number one, allopathic medicine kills 900,000 people a year. If the U.S. military wanted to kill more people in purportedly enemy countries, it should just impose allopathic medicine. That is actually what the corporations do as soon as the military invades and establishes jurisdiction. It is not about making the world safe for democracy, as Woodrow Wilson said. It is about making it safe for allopathic medicine and corporate monopolies. Number two, the Affordable Care Act, the ACA, is not for the benefit of the people. It is for the benefit of Big Pharma and the insurance companies. It will not allow people more access to health care, but will allow the sickness treatment industry more access to your profit-producing bodies. Number three, and this is very important, and this relates to everybody number three, 37 states have increased spending on mental health since Sandy Hook. This means that if the local authorities think that a person is a danger to themselves or to the community, then they can lock him or her up and administer the most profitable and most dangerous psych drugs to that individual for as long as they darn well please. Now, if 37 states already have increased spending on mental health since Sandy Hook, well, I suppose that the rest of the states will follow suit. Now, Big Pharma, and let me just check in the chat room to see if there are any questions or comments. okay, let's see. Let's see if there's any questions. Okay. One comment. Well, Deanna, after all, they can't talk about the daily slaughter of Palestinians. They would lose all of their Jew advertisers. See, you need an exciting... Okay. All right. Let's go back. Let's go back to Big Pharma. Big Pharma and the government prefer that a portion of the population believe that, number one, Sandy Hook was a government hoax in order to snatch guns, or number two, that an individual did indeed kill 26 people at Sandy Hook. Government officials, perhaps wanting to exploit both scenarios and possibly using operatives, subtly promote the idea that it was a hoax. Alternatively, officials want people to accept the massacre as reported so they can impose policies and programs advocating preventative screening and more psych drugs to prevent another such tragedy. Both deceptive, distracting scenarios divert people from the truth, which is significantly more damaging to the liberty of every single individual and the entire country. Whichever scenario the public embraces, they both function to sidetrack people from the fundamental issue. Psych drugs create killers, okay? Psych drugs create killers. It's the drugs that do the damage. People hyped up on psych drugs engage in violent, uncharacteristic activities. I believe the children died at Sandy Hook, and there is a huge cover-up of another sort with the assistance of numerous people, both in the mainstream media and in the alternative media. I mentioned the idea that we should look for commonalities and make comparisons to similar events. With that in mind, let's establish some more facts that relate to allopathic medicine, which includes psychiatry, which is a major factor in Sandy Hook. Number one, the doctor whose actions may have led to a person's death is the person who fills out the death certificate stating the cause of death. For instance, when a transplant surgeon fills in the certificate, he is going to state that the patient died of a fall or a gunshot wound. He is not going to admit that he killed the patient by extracting his or her heart while the living, breathing patient was under the influence of a paralyzing drug to keep him from responding to the terror and the pain of a skillful surgeon's scalpel. Interestingly, Senator William Frist, F-R-I-S-T, was a heart and lung transplant surgeon before he became a notably corrupt politician. I mean, they're both kind of the same thing, right? A transplant surgeon and a politician. They're both, well, psychopathic. These surgeons are not ignorant, but are completely aware of what they are doing. They rationalize their actions because in 1968, 13 people at Harvard created a new category of death. The profit-motivated medical industry accepted the group's consensus because it was really profitable. It opened up a whole new profitable market. Organ harvesting, all kinds of money there, especially in as much as so many people's vital organs like the kidney, liver, and all of that were getting very, very unhealthy because of the drugs, the toxic drugs that people are taking. So The profit-motivated medical industry accepted the group's consensus, just as it accepted the Supreme Court's consensus about abortion. And it's kind of interesting that Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, the brother of Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, is a big proponent of organ transplantation, and he was kind of instrumental in the Affordable Health Care Act. Now, we didn't hear too much about this on the mainstream news. I know that people were really interested in what the Kardashians are doing, and they're really interested in other really, really important things that were happening. Now, it doesn't mean that the Kardashians didn't do what the mainstream media was saying they were doing. It just means that while they were reporting on the Kardashians, they weren't reporting on the fact that, well, when surgeons cut your organs out to help people who are depending on transplants, that they're actually killing you. But hey, you know, you can only report on so many important things, and they have to pick and choose. And they thought that, you know, what's really important, we have to talk about the Kardashians or the whatever else they're talking about. Number two, fewer and fewer autopsies are performed by hospitals, thereby concealing the fact that doctors and their treatments kill at least 900,000 people a year. Now, if there were more autopsies, obviously they wouldn't be getting away with all of this slaughter. Number three, I asked Dr. Jennifer Daniels the following question. Are coroners also under the stipulations of the standard of care? For instance, I have noted that in some coroners' reports, such as in the Robin Williams autopsy report, the coroner said that there was a therapeutic, the word therapeutic is good here, the therapeutic level of an antidepressant drug that he was taking, which seemed to signify that therapeutic means that it had nothing to do with his death or state of mind. Doses for psych drugs are arbitrary depending on what the patient reports to his doctor. Do coroners, through some sort of silent agreement, rationalize and use the word therapeutic to cover their butts and remain within the parameters of the standard of care? And that was my question. Well, actually, there were several questions in there. But I was really fascinated by the word therapeutic. According to Dr. Daniels, and I quote, coroners are notoriously corrupt. Coroners are direct employees of the government. They are not independent and are obligated to read prepared statements, unquote. Now, there are exceptions. Melody Peterson, let me just check the chat room once more and see if there are some questions. I'm sorry to jump around so much in what I'm talking about, but it's all relevant. It'll all come together, okay? All righty. I don't see any questions. Is my volume too low? I don't know. Let me check and turn it up. If it is, you can also adjust your volume on your own computers. But anyway, okay. There are some exceptions. Some MEs, medical examiners, some coroners are very, very honest. Melody Peterson, in her book, describes the situation during which a medical examiner, while performing an autopsy, determined that Ritalin had caused the death of Matthew Smith, despite pressure from the attending physician. Okay? They don't want, you know, the medical industry does not want a lot of autopsies, and they certainly don't want autopsies that would reveal that a person died as a result of a drug. autopsies by coroners who are not so honest, they're just not going to, they're going to say, oh yeah, I died from a fall. Okay. So the Dr. Lazubish Dragovich, the medical examiner in Oakland County, Michigan, conducted an autopsy on Matthew, who collapsed while riding his skateboard. His doctor thought that the boy died from hitting his head. Dr. Dragovich's autopsy uncovered the fact that Matthew's heart had been, and I quote, damaged by 7 years of Ritalin use, unquote, which is what the doctor wrote on the death certificate, displeasing, and I quote, several psychiatrists, unquote. After they asked him to alter his decision, he told Peterson, and I quote, I'm in the business of fact-finding. A death investigation is not a democratic process, unquote. Now, regarding the term therapeutic, Dr. Peter R. Bragan suggests the following. Number one, and I referred to Dr. Bragan several times in my upcoming book. Number one, pharmacologists refer to, and I quote, the drug's therapeutic index, the dosage ratio between the beneficial effect and the toxic effect. The first brain-disabling principle of psychiatric treatment reveals that the toxic dose is the therapeutic dose, that brain disability causes the seemingly therapeutic effect, that as soon as toxicity is reached, the drug begins to have a psychoactive effect. Without toxicity, the drug would have no psychoactive effect. In other words, all psych drugs are dangerous. He cites, and I quote, all the major categories of psychiatric drugs are neurotoxic. They poison neurons and sometimes destroy them, unquote. Dr. Bragan wrote, and I quote, biopsychiatric treatments exert their therapeutic effect by impairing higher human functions, including emotional responsiveness, social sensitivity, self-awareness or self-insight, autonomy and self-determination. More drastic effects include apathy, euphoria and mania, and lobotomy-like indifference, unquote. Regarding Robin Williams, on November 7th, 2014, the coroner of Marin County officially ruled the death as a suicide. The coroner said that alcohol and illegal drugs were not involved, but that prescription drugs were found in, and I quote, therapeutic concentrations, unquote. In other words, a coroner may decide that the drug level in a deceased individual was therapeutic, therefore within the standard of care, and therefore was not a factor in the deceased person's actions or subsequent death. Now, regarding Dr. Wayne Carver, in conjunction with Dr. Carver, Sheila Matthews of Able Child said, and I quote, the ME, meaning the medical examiner, Dr. Carver, admitted toxicology testing could provide vital insight into Adam Lanza's mental state. But in denying our request, the request to reveal the toxicology report, it appears that he is the only one worthy of knowing that insight. We disagree and absolutely believe that the public has a right to know the results. Lives may depend on it, unquote. Carver only offered a cover sheet and independently made the decision as to what was relevant information acquired from the toxicology report. Publicly, he stated that the toxicology report showed that Lance's body showed no evidence of prescription use. Then why not release those records, Dr. Carver? In October 2006, Dr. Robert A. King suggested that an SSRI such as Zoloft, Luvox, Celexa, Lexapro, or Paxil might be helpful in reducing Adam Lanza's symptoms. Dr. King works at the Yale School of Psychiatry. Other doctors, like Dr. Bregan, person that I quoted previously, also a psychiatrist, acknowledged the dangers of SSRIs and began warning others about them. Many doctors, for whatever reasons, seem to continue prescribing such drugs despite the unprecedented devastation it is sure to unleash in the lives of thousands, if not millions, of people. Now, if 37 states have already increased their mental health budgets, that's going to be a huge impact. Because so many people, particularly if they're listening to the mainstream, so many people have said to me, as a result of Sandy Hook, we need more mental health care. Because the spin in the mainstream media is that, gosh, Adam Lanza just didn't get the care that he needed. And I am very certain, I'd like to make a prediction. I don't like to make predictions, but I will predict that within a few short weeks or maybe a month, that some of the hoaxers who previously said, made all those claims, are going to start focusing on psychiatric aspects of the Lanza situation. Because they don't want to seem like what they are. Alrighty. Regarding another relevant issue, something that Big Pharma wants to conceal in order to maintain its profits, and that would be in the vaccine industry. Representative Henry Waxman, a strong vaccine proponent, was part of the 1997 hearing and countered the evidence of a connection between vaccines and autism. He said that the hearing, led by Dan Burton, and the reports and testimony would lead many people to not immunize their children. He was certain, gosh, if all these people hear about these problems, they're going to start not getting their kids vaccines. We can't have that. And of course, these politicians they get a lot of their campaign money from the drug industry. Okay, this is also the same situation with psych drugs. There exists a huge inconsistency between what Dr. Carver, the coroner who autopsied Adam Lanza, and what Connecticut Assistant Attorney General Patrick B. Kawanishi said in referring to the release of the medical records of Adam Lanza. Kawanishi said, and I quote, "It is harmful because then you can cause a lot of people to stop taking their medications." And then bingo, there goes all the profits for Big Pharma. Reiterating, on August 22nd, 2013, Kawanishi, during a Freedom of Information hearing on this matter, stated that releasing information about Lanza's prescription drug use could, and I quote, "cause a lot of people to stop taking their medications," unquote. Significantly, the state denied a Freedom of Information request. The Lanza shooting is probably the highest profile case that Connecticut has experienced in decades. Gowanus Shee's admission seems to confirm that Lanza was taking or was withdrawing from a psych drug around the time of the shootings. Yet the state of Connecticut will not release this information because it, and I quote, might induce large numbers of people to stop taking antidepressants, unquote. And you know, I think no matter who you talk to, we all know someone who is on antidepressants. That does not mean that everyone who is on antidepressants is going to go out and commit mass murder. Okay. In other words, Big Pharma, in collaboration with Connecticut's Department of Health and Human Resources, would lose money. It is all about money. Big Pharma does not care about people, never has, never will. It only cares about profits. Now, according to the Connecticut State Register and Manual of 1998 and 2003, there were 20 assistant attorney generals working exclusively in the state's Department of Health and Human Services. Let me reiterate that during the hearing with Sheila Matthews and Jonathan Emord, that Gowanus Shee representing, now this is very interesting, he represents Connecticut's DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, rationalized the state's refusal to release Lanza's medical records and toxicology report. He said, and I quote, no matter how the outcome of the use of antidepressants or the causal link between the use of antidepressant and the kind of violence that took place in Newtown, that's not a legitimate use of information, that information. You can't generalize from just one case. Even if you can conclusively establish that Adam Lanza's murderous actions were caused by antidepressants, you can't logically conclude from that, you know, others would commit the same actions as a result of taking antidepressants. So it's simply not legitimate, and not only is it not the use to which they are proposing to put the information not legitimate, it is harmful. Because then you can cause a lot of people to stop taking their medications, stop cooperating with their treating physicians, just because of the heinousness of what Adam Lanza did. Unquote. Let's compare this to some of the details surrounding Columbine. Dr. Bragan filed a Freedom of Information request to the FDA Center for Drug Evaluation and Research in Rockville, Maryland, asking for information about Eric Harris's use of any prescription drugs. Now, keep in mind that the FDA is supposed to be looking out for you and me. It doesn't. It looks out for the corporations, which I've explained fully in my book. Anyway, they wrote him back and they said, dear Dr. Bragan, basically what they said was, on May 3rd, 1999, the allegation was reported that further tests revealed the presence of the antidepressant Luvox in Harris's system. On May 4th, the next day, 1999, a Solway representative contacted the chief deputy officer of the Jefferson County Coroner's Office. The chief deputy confirmed the presence of a Luvox blood level at autopsy as therapeutic. On May 18th, the laboratory test showed that Luvox blood level at autopsy as therapeutic for the student Eric Harris. The request for the specific blood level was denied, and no additional information was given since the case is under criminal investigation. The case has been referred to the legal department for additional information such as therapy dates, dosage, and indication. So, in my opinion, and I'm not a doctor and I've never played one on TV, but in my opinion, you can say any dosage at all is therapeutic because it's really arbitrary. It's up to the physician who prescribes the drug, and they go by what the patient is saying. The patient might be saying, "Gosh, I just feel really terrible. I'm feeling more depressed than I was before I started taking this antidepressant." So typically, the typical psychiatrist will say, "Oh, well, let's increase the dosage." And so any dosage that any coroner finds could be described as therapeutic. Okay? In the Denver Post of May 4th, 1999, Jefferson County Coroner Dr. Nancy Bodelson said that finding Luvox in Eric Harris's body, and I quote, "does not change the cause and manner of death." See, there's always been this cover-up about the therapeutic dosage, whether we're talking about Robin Williams, whether we're talking about Eric Harris. The cover-up seems to be that if it's in there, then it's okay because whatever level is in there was therapeutic because that's the level that the doctor who prescribed the drug said, and the doctor always operates under the standard of care and therefore is not responsible for anything. If whatever the person who is under the influence of the drug does, they're not responsible. Further, the coroner's office said, and I quote, "the standard screening was done for illicit drugs, the commonly abused prescription drugs, and many over-the-counter medications. Many prescription drugs are not identified on standard screening tests. Further testing for specific medications or chemicals is done only when indicated," unquote. Again, in that article from the Denver Post, Dr. Robert Davies, director of the Anxiety and Mood Disorders Clinic at the University of Colorado, said there is no evidence connecting drugs such as Luvox to behavior changes that involved hostile outbursts, unquote. So, even as far back as 1999, you had coroners and doctors and others, the FDA, the company that created Luvox, you had them all saying, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what drug was in their system. That wasn't the cause of it. So, in an article on December 24th, 2012, Dr. James Tracy refers to Dr. Carver's wholly bizarre performance, in quotes, wholly bizarre performance, at a press conference on December 15th. After Dr. Carver had performed 7 autopsies on children and I quote, "appearing apprehensive and uncertain," unquote, and suggests that, and I quote, "he is either under coercion an imposter." Okay? So, given what Dr. Daniel said, that coroners are, well, they're corrupt. A lot. They have to be. You know what? Coroners would have to be, for the most part, corrupt. Or they would be saying, well, yeah, this guy died because his surgeon accidentally cut something off, or that surgeon or that doctor accidentally gave him something that caused anaphylactic shock. Of course you're going to have thousands of coroners who are going to be dishonest and under coercion. And so during the press conference, Dr. Carver said, I mean, it would be speculation on my part. He said, and I quote, "my staff, and I hope that, He's referring to the staff. My staff, and I hope that the people of Newtown don't have it crash on their head later. Now, and that's a quote out of Dr. Tracy's article. We do not know the question or comment to which Dr. Carver was responding. We only see Dr. Carver, Lieutenant Paul Vance, and a few other officials, and not the dozens of people who were asking questions from what must have been a large group from the media. If hundreds or thousands of people in Newtown or elsewhere accept the theory that psych drugs are helpful for numerous disorders, then it may indeed crash on their head later. Okay, you have to think about all the possibilities. You can't just zero in on myths and speculations and that kind of thing, but you have to zero in and look at the evidence first, not design or devise theories based on what you want people to believe. You have to look at evidence. Now, Mark Taylor, a Columbine victim, testified at the February 2004 meeting, which was held, which Dr. Bregan attended, and which he writes about. And he said, and I quote, "How are we supposed to feel safe at school, at home, on the street, at church, or elsewhere if we cannot trust the FDA to do what we are paying you to do? Where were you when I got shot? You say that these antidepressants are effective. So why did they not help Eric Harris? These drugs help increase the rage in people and cause them to do the things they would not do anyway. So why didn't these so-called antidepressants not make him better? I will tell you why. It is because they don't work. We should consider antidepressants to be accomplices to the murder." Unquote. Now, that is a quote from Mark Taylor, a Columbine victim who got shot when he gave testimony before the FDA in February of 2004. Okay, so what has happened to Mark Taylor? Well, because he was asking so many questions and knew that it was the drugs that provoked the Columbine shootings, the psychiatric community forcibly hospitalized and treated him with psychiatric drugs in 2006 in Colorado Springs. And he's not been normal since then. This is a crime. A crime. And if they can do this to Mark Taylor, they can do it to anybody in those 37 states that have increased their mental health budgets. Now, I understand that a certain school safety expert, I say that in quotes, school safety expert was attempting to raise money for Mark Taylor to help him to get out of the hospital, to help him get over the effects, the influence of psychiatric drugs. So I would expect that this certain school safety expert is well aware of the dangers of psych drugs, not only for Mark Taylor, but is well aware of the psych drugs because they are pervasively used in every school district in this country. And administrators, teachers, counselors, everybody that's in an administrative situation in any school in this country should be aware of the influence of psychotropic, antipsychotic drugs on any student or anybody that is accused of mass murder. 3 weeks after Columbine, President Bill Clinton convened a conference at the White House. Let me just check my email, see if I have any email. He invited parents. He wanted to address teen violence. He invited parents, young people, teachers, religious leaders, government officials, law enforcement, gun makers, and would you believe people from the entertainment industry? Yeah, let's get some actors and actresses in here because they are so brilliant. Let's get them in here and let's see what they say. The Kardashians weren't really popular at that time, so he probably didn't invite them. Okay, so Clinton did not invite anyone from the mental health community or anyone who might make the connection between school violence and psychotropic drugs such as Ritalin, Luvox, and Prozac. There was a commonality with the perpetrators of Columbine and the other individuals who had committed murder and or suicide before Columbine occurred. And that was that they were taking psychiatric drugs. Their doctors all claimed that they had a mental illness and were all being treated with psychotropic drugs known for their adverse effects on children and young adults. It is very interesting that within 2 years after Prozac was introduced, that there were 200 lawsuits, and they all magically went away. Alrighty, according to IMS Health's Vector 1, which is a national and total patient tracker database for 2013, these are the figures for just 0 to 1 year olds being prescribed psychiatric drugs. Now, what this means is, okay, you can go to your doctor, you can get a prescription. IMS Health Vector 1 does not count people who just received a prescription. They count the people who actually filled the prescription. And this deals with children who are just 0 to 1 year old. There are 249,669 infants, children who are under 12 months old, who are on anti-anxiety drugs such as Xanax, Clonopin, and Ativan. There are 26,406 children under 12 months of age who are on antidepressants such as Prozac, Zoloft, and Paxil. Do you think the drug companies care about people? Do you think they're concerned about these sweet, innocent little infants? Heck no. They just want the money. They just want the profits. In addition to the control factor. Because quite frankly, the drug companies and the politicians who assist them want to control all humanity. Okay? And the younger they can get you on a drug, the more that they can control you. There are 1,422 infants up to the age of 12 months who are taking ADHD drugs such as Ritalin, Adderall, and Concerta. There are 654 up to the age of 12 months who are taking antipsychotics such as Risperdal, Seroquel, and Zyprexa. The CDC issued a report on the 10,000 2 to 3 year olds being prescribed ADHD drugs. Somebody in the chat room says, "What were the parents thinking?" Well, that's a big problem right there. They weren't thinking at all. They were just listening to their white coat. They were just listening to this authority figure who says, "Oh, let's put your baby on Seroquel. You know, your little 2 year old seems to be really overactive. How about let's prescribe, Ritalin." Ritalin destroys your heart. We've all heard of all of these young kids who are dropping dead, like Matthew Smith, who I talked about earlier, where the coroner, the honest coroner, who would not cave to the psychiatrist's demands, but said, his heart, Ritalin destroyed his heart. He didn't fall and hit his head and die because he didn't fall off his skateboard and hit his head and die as a result of the head injury. His heart stopped working because of Ritalin. And of course, another person in the chat room talked about the CPS, Foster Parent Care System, Child Protective Services. Yes, the Child Protective Services. Each foster parent, if they will allow the foster kids under their care to have psych drugs, they get more money. And the drug companies get more profit. Okay? It's all about profit. And all about protecting that profit by dismissing the idea that Sandy Hook happened. You want to divert everybody. You want to distract everybody with nonsense about porta potties and blood cleanup and Christmas trees and every other stupid, ludicrous theory that they came up with. Unbelievable. The number of toddlers, now get this, the number of toddlers on anti-anxiety and antidepressants are staggering in comparison. Okay. 2 to 3 year olds, there are 318,997 2 to 3 year olds who are on anti-anxiety drugs. There are 46,102 2 to 3 year olds who are on antidepressants. There are 3,760 2 to 3 year olds who are taking antipsychotics. I mean, this is dumbfounding. I mean, it is unbelievable. In other age groups, the numbers start in the millions with the 0 to 5 year olds. The total number of 0 to 5 year olds currently prescribed and taking psychiatric drugs are 1,080,168 people under 5. So, you know, don't bother waiting to get your kid on ADHD drugs until they get in school. Just put them on as soon as your doctor says put them on. Now, who do you think teaches all these doctors? Where do doctors get these crazy ideas that they should be putting babies and little toddlers on psych drugs? Oh, I know what it is. I know who it is. It's the drug reps. They call them drug detailers. Those drug reps, they go into the doctor's office. They're well paid, well dressed, well compensated. They go into the doctor's office. They pass out all kinds of gimmicks and bonuses and buy lunch and vacations to Hawaii and all kinds of things. And so, of course, when you come in, when a parent goes in and they say, he's just really kind of, seems really overactive. And the doctor will act like he's thinking about, oh, what to do, what to do. Oh, let me write you a script. Let me give you a prescription for him. We need to help him. We need to help this little kid. And so that's why you have 1,080,168 kids between the age under the age of 5 that are taking psychiatric drugs, and the number of 6 to 12 year olds on psychiatric drugs. Okay, we need a drum roll here. Is 4,130,340. The number of 13 to 17-year-olds taking psychiatric drugs is, another drum roll, 3,617,593 people. Now, do you really think that the drug industry wants to highlight and spotlight and focus on Adam Lanza, who was one of these kids that was probably taking psych drugs before he even went to school? Do you really want, do the drug companies, do the politicians, does the mass media want you to really find out that it was the drugs that caused the problem? No, they want to get more people on more drugs than are already on drugs. That's why they say, oh, Adam Lanza, he didn't get enough help. We got to help these people. We got to help these people. And then in the alternative media, you have people saying, oh, it didn't happen. It was a hoax. No, that didn't happen. Both accomplish the same thing. It gets you thinking about other things and not on psych drugs. Okay, in 2001, the United States spent $85 billion just on mental health care. In 2008, that sales figure had increased to $170 billion. By 2015, this year, experts expect that the spending will increase to $280 billion. The taxpayer, through Medicaid and Medicare, pays almost 60% of the nation's costs for mental health care. No wonder our roads are falling apart and the bridges are falling apart and people are taking all their production offshore. Who can afford to cover the insurance costs for all of these workers? I mean, if a nation is spending all of this money on mental health care for people who are coming under greater and greater and greater control of a tyrannical government, you can't fix the stuff that needs fixing. Okay, so as of April 2014, and I will, let me just check and see if we have some calls, because I do want to take callers. We do have a caller. I don't know whether he's just listening in on the phone, but But anyway, we will take calls at 646-787-1915. So call in with your questions and your comments. As of April 2014, the number of people taking psychiatric drugs in the United States, and this is all people, ADHD drugs, 10,291,860. Antidepressants, 41,226,394. Antipsychotics, 6,845,303. Anti-anxiety, 36,472,663, for a grand total of 78,694,222. It is absolutely irresponsible to ignore the influence that psych drugs have in the thousands of individual suicides and the mass shootings that have occurred in the last 3 decades. Authorities who refuse to investigate drugs as a factor are either intensely indoctrinated or are duplicitous with the corporate media and the campaign fund-seeking congressional cabal in Washington. People on psych drugs can commit terrible, atrocious, evil acts, whether they are actively taking these chemical lobotomizing drugs or whether they are withdrawing from them. It is more evil for those authorities who are aware of the dangers and yet do nothing. The government's numerous ABC agencies, such as the FBI, the CIA, the CDC, the FDA, the EPA, and numerous other groups, supposedly function in the interest of the American citizens. If that were actually true, then those agencies are directed by inefficient, unskilled, untrained, ignorant buffoons who rationalize their failures with the whoops explanation. The ABC agencies were established under false pretenses and essentially exist to protect corporate profits. If some honest politician, I know that's kind of an obvious oxymoron, would acknowledge even an iota of the many offenses of officialdom, the public would fully recognize the irregularities and incompetence and demand full exposure. Thus, the Triple Alliance. Okay, the Triple Alliance is the government, the corporations, and the media. Thus, the Triple Alliance must work harder to convince certain segments of the public to accept the idea that Sandy Hook was a hoax. Otherwise, people are going to wake up to the fact that psych drugs are dangerous and that the FDA should never have initially approved them. Then there's going to be hundreds of other questions about government activities, and things are going to become very, very unpleasant. Officialdom is concealing the 8,000 or more drug-induced suicides annually in the military, for the very same reason that it wants the public to speculate and doubt the massacre in Newtown. The government can more easily suppress and rationalize the deaths among the military. Sandy Hook is a different story. They need an aggressive damage control operation that permeates both the mainstream and alternative media. Officials know that people within the alternative media question everything and would probably focus on the psych drug issue. They had to be prepared for that inevitability with ostensibly credible but sidetracking arguments and so-called evidence to address the predictable skepticism and promote the idea that it was a hoax. Let me just check my email. and check and see. Okay. A nice comment. When Elvis Presley died, his body was loaded with large amounts of various prescription drugs. So the real cause of death was polypharmacy. But the coroner reported that Elvis died as a result of cardiac arrhythmia. Very applicable comment. Thank you for that. All righty. Meanwhile, the mainstream media promotes the idea that troubled people need greater access to mental health care and prescription drugs. And here we have the Affordable Health Care Act. Just in time, people, to help all of us with all of the mental problems that we might be experiencing. And given the huge number of people who take prescription psychiatric drugs, many people evidently believe that pills solve problems, and they are unaware of the inherent dangers that come with using these drugs. Regarding Sandy Hook, many people gathering their information from the mainstream media believe, as I said before, that Lanza did not receive the necessary mental health care that he needed. Damage control operations would like to conceal the following. Let me just check, because I invited your phone calls, and let me check and see if we have any. Okay, yeah, let's take 304. 304 would be Kent. Is that you, Kent?
Yeah. Hi, Deanna.
Hi. I recognize your phone number.
You were talking about the drugs and the power of the media. I had a really interesting experience here. I'm here in West Virginia. Obviously, it's a very small market, you know. But there's a guy here in Wheeling, West Virginia. He has a little radio station. He has a little talk show in the morning, you know. And he's a clown, you know. He'd be chucking and jiving about the Super Bowl and the halftime show and all this stuff and caring and all that and laughing and joking and arguing about this. But every once in a while I'd have topical things as well, you know, I mean more serious things. And after one of these, I'm not sure it was Stan Hook or maybe the shooting before that or the one before that anyway. I called in and just said something to the effect that, well, you know, there's a lot of people that seem to think that it might not be the guns, but it might be that these kids are on drugs. And here's this guy who was so affable, you know, and immediately was like, "Oh, I don't believe that at all." I mean, he just turned on a dime like that, you know, and I was completely shocked. And I don't even think he has any pharmaceutical sponsors that I know of. You know, maybe he's on the drugs himself, but it was just unbelievable how fast he turned. You know, he got real serious, and you know. So there's an example of what's going on, you know.
Sure. A lot of people who are on these drugs swear that it makes them feel better. And I'm going to share with the audience a few things that the reason why people feel better is quite predictable. But anyway, thank you, Kent, for sharing that with us, and that is the same kind of response that we would kind of expect from, well, a lot of people. So, anyway, thank you so much.
Okay.
All righty. 111, did you have a comment? 111, did you have a comment, or are you just listening?
Do you know anywhere I could get some good clam chowder?
Okay, I guess that, no, I don't. All righty, let's look in the chat room and see if, all righty, no questions, yes, that's true, 5. Okay, damage control operations would like to conceal the following. The government and majority of Congress collaborate and invest in the medical and pharmaceutical corporations. Number two, over 900,000 people a year die from medical intervention, which I mentioned before. Number three, doctors, lawyers, and corporations regularly collaborate against the people. Number four, these collaborators will do anything conceivable to control our perceptions. Number five, the medical and pharmaceutical corporations are multi-billion dollar industries that have much to lose. Is it just a huge coincidence that the country that has the most deaths attributable to medical intervention is also the country whose citizens take the most pharmaceutical drugs? Since 2008, after several allegations of fraudulent marketing practices, the Department of Justice pursued charges against at least five drug companies. The government fined Eli Lilly $1.4 billion for convincing doctors to prescribe Zyprexa to children. Pfizer paid a $2.3 billion settlement to the Department of Justice for hiring 250 child psychiatrists to market its antipsychotic drug, Giodin, when it had not been approved for pediatric use. AstraZeneca was fined $520 million for promoting the antipsychotic Seroquel to treat conditions for which it had not been approved. The firm specifically approached physicians who treated children. I know of one 16-year-old girl whose doctor prescribed Seroquel for a soccer injury. She experienced suicide ideation and killed herself within a week of starting the drug. Johnson & Johnson, which always advertises itself as a family company, targeted key opinion leaders, KOLs, to gain their assistance in promoting the use of antipsychotic Risperdal for children. The government charged them in another incident and fined the company $2.2 billion to settle criminal and civil allegations. There was a whistleblower case involving GSK. The company had encouraged healthcare providers to prescribe antidepressants to children that the FDA had not approved for pediatric use. The federal government charged the company $3 billion for its egregious behavior. But you know what? It's just a drop in the bucket. It's a change. These are multi-billion dollar companies. This is the cost of doing business. They also regularly settle out of court, which I talk about in my book, because by settling out of court, they do not have to expose their internal memos or their records to any court. And by settling out of court, they usually say, okay, you can't talk about this. You can't talk about how much we've given you, and you can't talk about this or anything about it if we pay you off. And that's what they do. It's shut-up money. They pay off the federal government, and it's really just sort of a the federal government will go after them and say, okay, give us some money, and it'll make us look like we're really doing our job in protecting the public and everything. But we know that you have billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, and this is nothing. So just give us a little bit of money, and then we'll so that we act like we're really being looking out for the citizens. Doctors treat, but do not cure their patients. If someone dies, then surely it was not the doctor or the drugs that killed the patient. It is horrific that 900,000 people a year die from medical intervention and toxic drugs, which is totally concealed by the media. Imagine if you heard on the 6 o'clock news that figure. Oh my gosh. the media would really be doing its job now, wouldn't it? But they're not. They're not doing their job. It is quite another issue when people possibly on drugs such as Prozac go on a killing rampage. People might recognize the correlation between the pharmacological government media complex and become outraged. This would put a halt to big pharma giants like Eli Lilly, who make billions of dollars a year. People are less likely to make that connection if paid professionals, often unidentified, are manipulating the masses using the Delphi technique to draw faulty conclusions in a psychologically controlled environment. And both the alternative media as well as the mainstream media are psychologically controlled environments. Obviously, a lot of people would like to conceal the root cause behind Lance's actions. And these people, these individuals involve high-level federal and state politicians and their corporate cronies. The vaccine and psychiatric drug manufacturers, in order to obfuscate the facts and distract people from looking too deep, the government uses operatives who inevitably attract thousands of useful idiots who invent all sorts of sidetracking scenarios or make claims that the government orchestrated the event. It designed a counterintelligence operation to deflect and complicate the details of the deadly, avoidable tragedy that occurred at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. And let me just check and see if we have some more, any other callers. Okay. No other callers. If you have a question or comment, please feel free to call in at 646-787-1915. And let me check my email again here. Trying to multitask and see if there are questions from email. All righty. What is so significant about the scenarios, about whether you're in the alternative media or whether you're listening to the mainstream media, is that the two scenarios strongly suggest that government agents have not infiltrated the so-called alternative media. The fact that individuals in the alternative media accuse the government of participating in a hoax makes those accusers look like honest truth seekers rather than operatives. People might not expect government operatives to blame the government, giving them credibility. Giving the operatives credibility. This would also imply that, despite implicating the government, concealing the actual truth is even more important than protecting whatever credibility the government might still have. Officialdom is so anxious to conceal some greater truth, like the 900,000, it is willing to accept culpability and chance incrimination. Since the very compartmentalized government itself functions as the prosecuting authority, there are no prosecutorial risks in the allegations that it was an inside job. Nobody, you know, if you can say, oh yeah, it was an inside job, the government planned this hoax, well, who are you going to get to prosecute the government if it was an inside job? Who are you going to get? Shanley? Yeah, he's such a credible-looking guy. He could probably do that. Which also brings us back to the idea that I mentioned at the beginning of the program, is that when I referred to Jane Aker, the whistleblower, which, and this just happened in just the Florida court, but the Florida court, even the appeals court, said that it's okay for Fox News to create the news or to falsify or distort the news. And so even if these lawsuits against any media were to go forward, it would probably end in just the very same way. So you're not going to get the government to prosecute itself. It's just never going to happen. So given the accelerating rate of mass shootings by people on psych drugs, astute people, unless they think they are all hoaxes, which is kind of the direction that a lot of the hoaxers are trying to make us think, are going to start focusing on the cause. The idea that Sandy Hook was a hoax cruelly victimizes the families, not just currently, but continually, as the idea that it was a hoax will increase with repetition. You tell a lie long enough and often enough, people are going to think, well, maybe there's some credible about this. They have the victims have sufficient sorrow, long-lasting grief, without the terrible accusation of lying about the horrific slaughter of their beautiful children. Frankly, the hoaxologist position is a very passive, stand-down position. The insubstantial theories create division, while operatives accuse anyone who has other views or evidence of infighting, a hateful, false diversion leading people away from the truth about Big Pharma and their poisons. It's very popular to just fit in with the crowd. People don't like to be called names, and often if you get attacked for having a different viewpoint, sometimes you cave in, and sometimes you say, oh, okay, I guess you were right. I guess in the case of Sandy Hook, I guess people would expect me to say, oh, yeah, you're right. It was a hoax. I am never going to do that because I have done the research. I have done the research. Others have also engaged in real down-to-earth research. They are not buying into all of these silly theories that are not based on anything scientific, that are not based on anything. So if people want to target me for having a different view, go for it. Go for it. Now, let me share some things. Of course, I already have, so it's just, whatever. I don't care. The truth is what's important, okay? The truth is what is important. Okay, let me read you a little bit from Peter R. Bregan, wonderful psychiatrist, an honest psychiatrist, which is an anomaly. On March 22nd, 2004, the FDA issued an extraordinary public health advisory that cautioned it. Now, they're not like the Sandy Hook advisory. That cautioned about the risks associated with the whole new generation of antidepressants, including Prozac and its knockoffs, Zoloft, Paxil, Luvox, Celexa, and Lexapro, as well as Wellbutrin, Effexor, Zerzone, and Remerin. The warning followed a public hearing where dozens of family members and victims testified about suicide and violence committed by individuals taking these medications. Now, keep in mind, this is in 2004. While stopping short, including that antidepressants definitely cause suicide, the FDA warned that they might do so in a small percentage of children and adults. In the debate over drug-induced suicide, little attention has been given to the FDA's additional warning that certain behaviors, are, and I quote, known to be associated with these drugs, unquote, including, and I quote, and this is right from the CDC or the FDA, anxiety, agitation, panic attacks, insomnia, irritability, hostility, impulsivity, akathisia, which is severe restlessness, hypomania, and mania, unquote. Well, the FDA admitted that these drugs, in their hearing on March 22nd, admitted that these drugs cause all of these things. And yet, people just, they're not reading the inserts. They're not listening to the TV. When the TV, since 1997, we know that direct-to-consumer marketing has been the big rage, and it has increased the sales of pharmaceutical drugs about 300%. Because now, since 1997, instead of doctors trying to figure out what to give to their patients, the patients can go in and say, "Oh, doctor, I heard about this wonderful, wonderful new drug on TV. Could you please prescribe it?" Well, heck, the doctor is sure going to pull out the notepad and prescribe it. That way, he or she doesn't have to think about what to prescribe, because we have people now who are asking for drugs because that's what they heard on TV, and I guess they failed to listen to all the possible side effects. But back to Bragan's article. From agitation and hostility to impulsivity and mania, the FDA's litany of antidepressant-induced behaviors is identical to that of PCP, methamphetamine, and cocaine, drugs known to cause aggression and violence. These older stimulants and most of the newer antidepressants cause similar effects as a result of their impact on a neurotransmitter in the brain called serotonin. For more than a decade, Bragan has documented in his books and scientific reports how the stimulation and activation profile can lead to out-of-control behavior, including violence. Indeed, the FDA's conclusions seem drawn from Bragan's recent detailed review of studies pertaining to abnormal behavior produced by the newer antidepressants. And he did one article. It was called Suicidality, Violence, and Mania Caused by Selective Serotonin Reuptake Inhibitors, SSRIs. And he did a review, an analysis, which was published in the International Journal of Risk and Safety in Medicine. He did that report in 2003. 2004, it was in that journal. And the complete text of the peer-reviewed article appears on his website. He made a similar analysis in his recent book called The Antidepressant Fact Book, which came out in 2002, which I read during my investigation of this of Sandy Hook. And he says, "As a psychiatrist and as a medical expert, I have examined dozens of cases of individuals who have committed suicide or violent crimes while under the influence of the newer antidepressants such as Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, Luvox, and Celexa. In June 2004, in South Carolina, Christopher Pittman went on trial for shooting his grandparents to death while they slept. Chris was 12 when his family doctor started him on Zoloft. 3 weeks later, the doctor doubled his dose, and 1 week later, Chris committed the violent acts. In other cases, a 14-year-old girl on Prozac fired a pistol point-blank at a friend, but the gun failed to go off, and a teenage boy on Zoloft beat to death an elderly woman who complained to him about his loud music. A greater number of cases involve adults who lose control of themselves while taking antidepressants. In at least two cases, judges have found individuals not guilty on the basis of involuntary intoxication with psychiatric drugs, and other cases have resulted in reduced charges, lesser convictions, or shorter sentences. The FDA includes mania in its list of known antidepressant effects. Now, if the FDA, the media, and if people were doing their job, we would know about this in the mainstream media. You wouldn't be having to listen to this program. You would learn about this in the mainstream media. But when you look at all of the advertisements, when you look at the five corporations that control the mainstream media, when you look at the sponsors that sponsor hundreds of advertisements about drugs, this is never going to happen. You are never going to hear about the connection between psych drugs and violence in the mainstream media. You will never hear about it. The only place that you might hear about it is in the alternative media, if people are going to be honest and do their due diligence and do research. Manic individuals, going back to Bregan's article, manic individuals can become violent, especially when they are thwarted, and they can also crash into depression and suicidal states. They can carry out elaborate but grandiose and doomed plans. One clinical trial showed a rate of 6% manic reactions for depressed children on Prozac. None developed mania on a sugar pill. Even in short-term clinical trials, 1% or more of depressed individuals develop mania compared to a small fraction on the sugar pill. Although it is difficult to determine the rate at which the antidepressants cause relatively uncommon tragedies such as suicide and violence, we do know that they cause stimulant effects such as irritability and agitation in a large percentage of patients, often a third or more. Doctors who fail to recognize these reactions as drug-induced may mistakenly increase the dose of the antidepressant with disastrous results. Now think about our culture just in the last little while. We hear about road rage, we hear about fights over products in stores. We hear about all kinds of people who are angry, who have anxiety, who are not happy. We hear about child abuse. We hear about so many things that we didn't used to hear about because so many people are on these drugs, and these drugs affect you mentally. They are like having a chemical lobotomy. They make you zombie-ish. They create so many problems. So many problems. And we need to recognize that. People who are looking for the truth need to evaluate these things. Alrighty, back to Bregan's article. Little will be lost by minimizing the use of the newer antidepressants. While there is strong evidence that they cause suicide, there is no convincing evidence that they can prevent it. In other words, a lot of people go on these drugs thinking that they won't be depressed, when in fact they will become more depressed and may, because of the drug, commit suicide. Many older antidepressants cause less stimulation and are equally or more effective in head-to-head clinical trials. Beyond that, a number of meta-analysis drawing data from multiple studies, have shown that antidepressants are no better than a sugar pill. People who are depressed often respond to placebo because it gives them hope. Severe depression is essentially a feeling of profound hopelessness and despair that can best be addressed by a variety of psychotherapeutic, educational, and spiritual or religious interventions. People get more out of talking about their problems, spending an hour with somebody that will listen to them, than taking a pill. But psychiatrists would rather spend time with 10 patients an hour and make 10 times as much money as sitting and talking with somebody for an hour. Unfortunately, Unfortunately, there are also risks involved in stopping antidepressants. Many can cause withdrawal reactions that last days and sometimes longer, causing some patients to feel depressed, suicidal, or even violent. Stopping antidepressants should be done carefully and with experienced clinical supervision. As a first sign in responding to this public health threat, we should follow the example of Great Britain, whose Drug Safety Agency recently, and we're talking back in 2004, recently banned the use of many of these drugs in children. Beyond that, the FDA and the medical profession must forthrightly educate potential patients and the public about the sometimes life-threatening risks associated with the use of antidepressant medications. And this was written by Peter R. Bragan, and he has written some terrific books, absolutely terrific books, which I have learned so very, very much about. Oh, okay. All righty. We do have somebody in hold. Let me just go to the call screen. Okay, 708, we're unmuting you. Okay, 708.
Greetings.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I remembered Saturday that your show changed to Saturdays finally, so I was able to go live, you know, listen to you live Saturday. Anyway,
super.
I had one question. Listening to the show today, are you aware of any major or significant nonprofit organization that is kind of taking up the fight against these chemicals, like similar to Barbara Lowe Fisher's National Vaccine Information Center? I mean, is there anybody that's trying to get this out, this information out?
There are a lot of people who are attempting to get this information out, many of which I have cited in my book. Peter R. Bragan is one. Kelly O'Meara is one. There are lots and lots of people who write books, but I don't see an actual functioning organization. There are organizations that do just the opposite, that claim to be grassroots organizations who are demanding more mental health care. So it's amazing that there's none.
They're controlled opposition. They're controlled opposition. They say one thing, but they're actually being funded by the drug companies to push their their agenda.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the persons who sat on the board of the Sandy Hook Advisory Commission is a trainer for NAMI. National Association for Mental, let's see, what does that stand for? National Association for Mental Illness, which is funded by the drug companies. And one of their key people sat on the shack, on the Sandy Hook Advisory Commission. is that amazing?
To run interference from anybody that would bring up the subject of Lanza being strung out on these antidepressants.
Yeah. Well, I talk about the commission. I name the names and what their associations are. And, well, I talk a lot about the cover-up. And, but yes, there are individuals who are talking about this, but there are not any that I have found that are actually working against this. And there's so many people who have been indoctrinated into thinking that psychiatric drugs are wonderful, wonderful. And this started with the marketing, that the drug companies pay these marketers to go out and
well, I think the tipping point came when they whoever the FCC allowed them to start advertising on broadcast television commercials.
Exactly, and that happened just after the Clinton administration decided that it was okay to start testing these drugs on children.
And that just flips me out. Those numbers you gave about the 0 and 1 year old, that I can't. It just flips me out. I can't believe that a parent would allow somebody to drug their child. How? I mean, just common sense would say, how in the world would somebody be a baby be diagnosed with some mental disorder when they can't even talk?
Exactly. Exactly. And I can hear the anger in your voice, and I have the same. I have the same anger.
Wow.
And when I was researching this, I was just amazed at how they market these things. In fact, I talked about the marketing of these drugs last week and who was in charge and how they did it. They market these drugs to the point that people who have just characteristics. If you're sad, they say, oh, you have, I talked about Christopher Lane's book, Shyness, which is a new mental illness. In fact, he's going to be joining the program in March. He's going to be a guest on the program. But they take all of the characteristics that somebody might feel. We all get sad. We all get mad. We all get anxious. We all get depressed sometimes. These are normal human feelings. But what the psychiatric drug industry has done, what the psychiatrists have done, they have made each of these through the DSM a problem, a disorder. These aren't disorders. These are human characteristics.
Yeah, living life. It's part of life.
Yes, yes.
I would like to leave you and your listeners with a thought here before the show's over. While it looks like a desperate situation, I truly believe that this is building and building and building, and it's going to bust open really wide here. Just like we're on the verge of the GMO labeling, or the vaccine, anti-vaccine movement is gaining steam. All those kids, by the way, most of those kids at Disneyland that got measles had been vaccinated for measles.
Of course. Yes.
More and more people are turning away from that. This is going to, if we keep the crusade going, it's going to work in the righteous way. Don't give up. It's going to happen, because stuff like this changes. It's like an overnight paradigm shift when people, there's an awakening all of a sudden, because over the years they get information here and there, and they see how they collectively see how the spin is being put on them and so forth. So it's going to come out, and there's going to be a backlash of enormous proportions. When people find out that these 0 and 1 year old babies are being given these drugs, I just, when I first heard that from you, a couple months ago, I just, my mouth dropped open. I just couldn't believe that this establishment, these money grubbers, would do that to babies. My God, it destroys their brain for the rest of their life.
It does.
So,
for the rest of their lives.
When the backlash comes, there's going to be people held accountable. There is going to, if it's not the CEOs and the board of directors of these drug companies, there's going to be people held accountable.
Yes.
And whether they like it or not. And it's
yes.
going to be like mob justice or something. But anyway, I'm just rambling because I get really emotional about this when I hear about
I do too.
Being
I
drugged
do too.
Like this. It's horrible. Horrible. So thank you for taking my call. And
thank you for calling.
Bye.
All righty. We are out of time. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your support, and thank you. Take care.
Starts with you and me.